Forward to Phoenix Policing the Shadows by Susan Phoenix. When I married Ian Phoenix, he was a fiery young paratrooper. 26 years later, he had matured into a mellow, loyal, and wise friend for many people. To me, he was still full of fire and enthusiasm when the occasion called for it, but this was tempered with a lot of hard-won, worldly knowledge, which, his colleagues tell me, made him an excellent strategist in the war against terrorism. After he was taken so tragically from me, I knew that he would have expected me to complete the things that he would have considered unfinished. Always conscious of his early military training, he liked ends tied up and often left me the day's force orders as he left for the office. For this reason, I started to look at his notes and personal diaries, which had become increasingly detailed in the 5 years or so before he died. I knew that he planned to write a book when he retired. We had often discussed this, and the children and I teased him during his regular rewrites of the same first pages on each of our summer holidays. He felt strongly about many things in his career, and indeed about worldwide anti-terrorist tactics. Never a man to mince his words. There were things that he wanted to say at a high level because he sincerely believed that the average politician did not adequately understand the psychology of the terrorist. He preferred to label such enemies of the state as criminals. I was still uncertain as to whether I could embark upon his final task for him, until I realised that other people were including him in their books and that I would rather make sure that his story came from me. Recalling our conversations about Jack Holland and his wife Mary, it seemed somehow right that I should ask Jack to help in this task. Ian had recognised a couple who he felt to be honest and objective. Jack's coming from different religious and cultural traditions made him a balanced and appropriate choice for me, and I have continued to find this to be very much the case, as he and I have marvelled together at Ian's notes in a combined admiration for the work of the RUC and the Special Forces. Ian was not an ambitious man in the normal career terms, but as he grew older and his frustrations developed at what he perceived to be inappropriate policy from above, he really wanted to be in a position to influence, or at least be heard, where he felt that he had a contribution to make. In the simplest terms, he cared. When he made a decision, it was because he believed it was for the good of the whole community of Northern Ireland. He did not care from which section of the community a person came. He believed in the individual's right to live a full life without intimidation or fear. He also, as this book illustrates, respected the men and women who worked with him. I often took great pride in helping him to draft proposals for medals and honours to be bestowed upon his colleagues, all of whom he assumed were his friends. He would have been so proud to know that his final team were awarded commendations after he died. He would not have been surprised that the final medal eluded him. I wonder would he have been surprised that the unresolved issues and controversy over the Chinook crash raged on 25 years later. The poor handling with the litany of deceit and subterfuge from a variety of institutions can be seen in the final chapter in this latest edition. The fact that our tribute to Ian Phoenix continued to sell during this quarter of a century since he was dispatched from our world could be described as the phoenix rising from the ashes. Indeed, he did. I was grateful to have been allowed to love and keep Ian for 28 years of my life. He left me a legacy of two wonderful children, lots of good friends, and memories which have sustained us all in the last 25 years as we all move forward as he would have wished. This is my medal to him.